I think Cape Cytamine seems to be commonly used by both communities as far as I can see. Now, it might be that people in private practice tend to be closer to their patients, so that people in academic situations may have patients which are from further away, and using an oral agent may have particular appeal, particularly as compared to, say, a weekly regimen, something like that. So that may account for some of the differences.
Where, you know, does Cape Cytamine fit into your algorithm in terms of single agents of metastatic disease?
Cape Cytamine is near the front of the group of single agents that I use, and I think it's primarily because it is usually not used in the adjuvant setting, so that because of that, it's an attractive agent to go to as one of the first or second treatments. I think it's very hard to come up with one pattern of treatment that fits every patient. It depends upon their prior adjuvant therapy and other circumstances.
Well, for example, one of the cases we presented was a woman who basically had asymptomatic metastatic disease, bone metastasis, who'd had prior AC paclitaxel. Now, what would your usual therapy be in that situation?
Well, I think capecitabine would be a perfectly reasonable option. That's probably what I would use the most off-study. Depending on the time period since receiving paclitaxel, you might consider an alternative taxane. But I think that capecitabine is probably what I would use in that situation.
Now, you notice when we talked about a 57-year-old woman with asymptomatic bone mets, HER2 ER negative, who'd had prior AC paclitaxel 2 years ago, 88% of researchers would use capecitabine compared to 20% of the docs in practice. And, you know, one of the things that I've heard from community-based oncologists when I've asked to explain these data are, quote, it's a hard drug to use. It causes a lot of side effects. You know, that's the reason they're not using it. Does that make sense to you?
Well, I think it does cause side effects, particularly with repeated use. Most patients are, with dose titration, able to tolerate capecitabine. The hand-foot syndrome is the primary toxicity that I find that patients complain of and that interfere with their lives. It takes aggressive supportive measures and, you know, dose modification in order to give the drug in that situation. But I've had patients who could take capecitabine for relatively prolonged periods of time. It depends a lot on the patient. I find that younger patients with children tend to say, just give me whatever you want, I'll take it. You know, I'll take the most aggressive treatment, thinking that necessarily the treatment with the most side effects is the most aggressive. I find the most resistance to chemotherapy in older patients. And in older patients, you might think paradoxically, they're worried about hair loss just as much or more than younger patients. So that I think the important things to emphasize to a patient are the nature of treatment, which is palliative, so that they understand that they don't have to take the most aggressive treatment, that in general, a strategy of using sequential single agents is as likely to be helpful in the long run as using more aggressive combination chemotherapy, so that they understand that they don't have to pull out all the stops with the first line of treatment. So I think there's a lot of education that goes on at the time of first relapse so that patients understand what their situation is, that while it's palliative treatment, they can lead a meaningful life, and what the goals of treatment are. So that I think that's a very important turning point in their lives and the need to understand what it means for them.